Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. A month after he dropped out of the race, President Biden rallied support for Kamala Harris on the first night of the Democratic National Convention.
It's been the honor of my lifetime to serve as your president. I love the job, but I love my country more.
Still to come at the convention, DNC Chair Jamie Harrison tells CBS Mornings.
3 days that we have left, and you're going to hear the story of Kamala Harris, who she is, what she fights for, who she's fighting for.
Former President Obama and former First Lady Michelle Obama each speak tonight. Former President Trump weighed in on a Kamala Harris presidency in an exclusive interview with CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns.
If she's going to be president, our country will fail and fail badly and fail quickly.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
540 AM WAUK News is brought to you by the new Hop and Shop at 1505 East Racine Avenue inside the Phillips 66 in Waukesha.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Chicago is sharing part of the political spotlight with Southeast Wisconsin today. Vice President Kamala Harris and running mate Tim Walz will be 90 minutes away, headlining a rally at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee tonight. Earlier in the day, Republican running mate J.D. Vance campaigns in Kenosha. Young voters say they're energized now that Harris is at the top of the Democratic ticket. They say appealing to young voters also requires a personal touch.
Take out your phone, text five friends, text five family members, tell them to go to the polls, help them register to vote. And I think, you know, doing that peer-to-peer organizing is really what's going to help us motivate and mobilize young voters.
18-year-old delegate Henry Paolo is from Maribel. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Wattles. A settlement has been reached in the death of Devante Mitchell. He's the man who died in front of Milwaukee's downtown Hyatt in June after being restrained by security guards and hotel employees. Lawyers for Mitchell's family say they've come to terms with the company that operates the hotel. While details of the settlement remain unknown, the criminal case continues for four workers facing murder charges related to Mitchell's death. The medical examiner attributes the death to both restraint asphyxia and the toxic effects of methamphetamine and cocaine. And with day two of the DNC in Chicago, Vice President Kamala Harris will rally supporters tonight in Milwaukee. The event at the Fiserv Forum is reportedly set to include appearances by Representative Gwen Moore and Chris Middleton. And there's still a beach warning for part of the day. Water off the Lake Michigan shoreline is still rough, with 3 to 6 foot waves expected through midday. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Wattles, WAUK News.
It's the Brewers and the Cardinals. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The first place Brewers are in St. Louis tonight to take on the Cardinals, who are in second place, 11 games behind Milwaukee. The crew coming off that sweep of the Cleveland Guardians over the weekend. NFL, the Packers back at practice after losing to the Broncos 27-2 Sunday night. On Thursday, they'll host the Ravens for a joint practice session, then play their final preseason game Saturday at noon. Hockey, it was announced that both the Badgers women's and men's hockey teams will compete outdoors in Chicago on Saturday, January 4th, the Badgers women's team against Ohio State, the men's team against Michigan State, the Badgers men's head coach Mike Hastings on getting the chance to play an outdoor hockey game inside Wrigley Field.
Iconic place to go and watch a baseball game, let alone a hockey game. With having the Winter Classic, having the Big Ten presence, having our women's program there, these are opportunities that are lifelong memories.
That's Badgers hockey coach Mike Hastings. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
540 WAUK weather is brought to you by Wisconsin Highland Games, August 30th through September 1st at the Waukesha County Expo Center, wisconsinscottish.org.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 71 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the northeast at 10 to 20. Tonight, clear 57. Tomorrow, sunshine 74. By Thursday, sunny with a high of 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Wisconsin Highland Games at the Waukesha Expo Center, Labor Day weekend. Throw a battle axe, shoot a longbow, and watch heavy athletics. Sip a pint at the pub while listening to live Celtic music. Bagpipes on Saturday. Reopening ceremony Friday, 5 to 10 p.m. Full games on Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Pub open until 10 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. with the pub open until 9 p.m. Kids 12 and under are free. Visit WisconsinScottish.org. Wisconsin Highland Games, August 30th through September 1st.
In a hurry, pop in at Hop and Shop at 1505 East Racine Avenue inside the Phillips 66 gas station in Waukesha, where you'll find gas, coffee, soda, snacks, and even alcohol, and serving food from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. Enjoy a breakfast burrito or biscuit sandwich. How about a delicious Hunt Brothers pizza or juicy Cooper's Express fried chicken? Chicken sandwich with pepper gravy, wings, tenders, fish, or shrimp with all your favorite sides. Stop in or order ahead at 262-933-4747. Hop and Shop in Waukesha.
Pete Schwabba.
The Next Nightlight is only available on Facebook, X, and YouTube. I discuss America's favorite movie snack with popcorn guru Chris Anderson. And award-winning director Justin Superstar joins me to talk about his new film.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Stop right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. You know, I stayed up a little, way too late last night watching all those speeches, but it was an exciting event. I can't imagine being there.
Well, you know, man, you know, you're a young guy yet, and I remember doing that kind of thing decades ago and wondering why I was watching that stuff, right? When I was a young guy. And I thought those were the pomp and circumstance of those conventions were big and huge, and I'm sure at the time they were, but man, nothing like the grandiose opulent way that it was presented on last night. And before we go any further, Tuesday's with my co-host Sandy Williams. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right too, although it did go well past my normal bedtime last night, sitting watching, and I'm sure Joe Biden was sitting on the sideline restlessly waiting. It came on about an hour later than scheduled, I think.
Well, you know, Sandy, it's and by the way, Civic Media, we're still here in Chicago, as we will be for the next several days, covering all the experiences of the Democratic convention. And Sandy, I can tell you that they are many. Yesterday, as I watched, it was kind of like Celebrity, Sandy. It was like being in Hollywood, right? Who's who, of politics and even entertainment.
Well, and sports, Stephen Kerr, right?
Yeah, so I saw him come in. Not Stephen Kerr. What is Kerr's first name, Calvin?
What is it?
Golden State Warriors.
Steve? I've never heard him called Stephen.
Oh, it
but
is
maybe
Steve
it's
Kerr.
Steven.
Okay, that's... maybe that's why I said. So Steve Kerr.
I was just being formal.
Yeah, so he walked in. And people didn't recognize him, and I shook his hand. I said, "Well, I recognize you. I know who you are. You're Steve Kerr." And he laughed, because most of the people, he's innocuous. He's just a guy coming in, and they're all looking for politicians.
Well, I thought in watching it on TV that one thing that I liked about it was it seemed very unstaged. The people who got up there were quite unrehearsed, and spoke kind of almost spontaneously, which, unlike the very polished, pre-rehearsed, probably choreographed process of the Republican convention, I thought this one had a much more natural feel about it. The people who got up and basically gave personal testimonials were quite persuasive.
You know, Sandy, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was really powerful in her delivery. Well, they've made that woman out to be some kind of, you know, third-rate cheerleader. You really can't believe the things that you hear when people cherry-pick conversations of people and judge them based on those things. Can you, Sandy?
Well, I think it has to do with this whole branding thing. You know, that's ever, you know, the Trump, the master brander. I think the Republican Party itself has become something, and maybe politics tries to do this across the board, but there's an awful lot of branding that goes on. And, you know, AOC has been branded as, you know, this firebrand liberal ex-bartender
lightweight.
Yeah. And, you know, she's never been that. Obviously, her ascendancy was so quick because she's pretty sharp. You know, she's a sharp, smart person and politically savvy. But I thought that a lot of people, and I thought the testimonials of the people on the women's right to choose were very moving. This young woman, Duvall, had a story that people would have to find compelling.
You know, Sandy, when I heard that Reverend Jackson was there, and so I went to see if I could find him, because I've been fortunate over the years to have, you know, got to get to know Reverend Jackson personally, and I was wondering, why would they bring Reverend Jackson, knowing that he is going through some Parkinson's or dementia or something? I was wondering, why would they bring him? And man, when they brought him out on the stage, I don't know if you saw it, in the wheelchair, and he's nonverbal, and he really is, you know, the ravages of time are really taking their toll on him. And he lifted his hands up. The applause and the tears and the emotion, I kind of understood. They gave him, and they played his fiery speeches before, you know, they, you know, brought him out, and there he was. He couldn't say anything, but he did recognize, Sandy, what was there and what was going on, and you could see the emotion in his eyes.
Well,
these events are emotional, right? I mean, that's
well, and I think the Democratic Party does a much better job of honoring its senior figures. I mean, you know, there's been a passing of the torch, which has obviously been an extremely important event, and Joe Biden facilitated that. And you could see the next generation there, and the generation after that. I mean, AOC is a generation younger than Kamala, but the Republican Party seems to flush their elder statesmen down the toilet, and I think the Democratic Party remembers its heritage a lot better. And I think it's because the Republican Party has lost its heritage, and I think the Democratic Party, I think, is holding on to it.
You know, Sandy, the passing of the torch, because that's what transpired last night. And you and I, a month ago, were talking about, we didn't see a passing of the torch coming, did we?
Well, I to be honest with you, I assumed from the very beginning, I was going to be surprised if Joe Biden would make it all the way through this process and decide to run for office, because I think the truth has always been there, not so much his infirmity, But the fact that Joe Biden was the one candidate the Democrats would run who might get defeated by Donald Trump, and that there was a stable of younger, more able to campaign candidates out there who would stand a better chance. And that's what's turned out to be the case. Joe Biden saw that writing on the wall himself. It wasn't a coup. I think Joe Biden just read the tea leaves and said, you know what, I'm going to do the right thing here.
You know, Sandy, the passing of the torch. And you know, we're at a point and a juncture that it is necessary. You know, you and I constantly talk, and you especially, about the selfishness of the baby boomers. Over and over and over, you and I have had that dialogue over the last couple of years. And you know, and the more you talk about it, the more I start thinking about it. Yeah, it's, you know, we can't hold these positions. They're not ours. And people had to pass the torch before the baby boomers. And this is the process. This is the life that, you know, all of us live. We don't own it.
Well, and in fact, you know, we got the torch passed. The baby boomers got their torch passed to us very early, because the generation, the wartime generation before us, was kind of eager to do it, and we were such a huge generation with numbers. We burst on the scene, and you know, starting with John F. Kennedy. I mean, you know, he was not a baby boomer, but he was very youthful. And it was the beginning of youth taking the torch. And, you know, I think I was proud of what went on. I thought Hillary Clinton did a great job of and magnanimous, you know. I mean, she suffered through a bitter disappointment, I'm sure, and was able to last night do, I thought, a great job of providing the promise of this woman who's maybe going to be the first woman president of the United States, and being very magnanimous about it.
You know, Sandy, I want to focus a little bit more on what Hillary had to say. It's been a while, right? And so she's been able to lick her wounds. And she was very gracious last night. But more than anything else, I think she galvanized women even more. And I don't know, Sandy, I don't know how the Republicans are going to be able, those powerful women who spoke last night, Sandy, they're not going anywhere.
Well, I thought Hillary's statement about look up at that glass ceiling, and when you look through it, you're going to see Kamala raising her right hand and getting sworn in as president. She's broken through the glass ceiling. I thought that was a significant oratorical call to the women of saying, look, this is the moment. And then she went on to say that this is the moment in history, and we're going to do it. And I think they will.
844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams. We are here in Chicago at the National Democratic Convention. Civic media is here in force. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
Shaw, WAUK.
Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to
travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights.
Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Tom Allball Show.
So long, sad times, go long, bad times. We are rid of you at last. Howdy, gay times, cloudy, gray times. You are now a thing of the past. 'Cause happy days are here again. The skies above are clear again. Let us sing a song of cheer again. Happy days are here again.
Right, welcome back to a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. You know, I'm in Chicago. Civic Media is here, a beautiful Chicago, for the Democratic Convention. You know, Sandy, you said before,
the music. I just want to point out.
Go ahead.
That's FDR's campaign music. Happy days are here again. And that's what the music's going to be today, is a series of the campaign theme songs from successful Democratic candidates.
Let me get back to Sandy, the times and where we are and the historical reality of what this time is with a woman being in this position, not to mention just a black woman, but a woman, period. And Sandy, I don't know if you and I could have predicted that this would be happening at this point in time. I thought we were still, years away from our nation being able to accept a woman possibly to become the most powerful woman on the planet. But Sandy, I don't know if people really are gathering, the historical moment that we're in. And I don't think that Republicans and Donald Trump can figure out how to stop this. And that's their dilemma.
I think the important thing you said there is that you kind of hadn't realized what the point we are at. I think that Hillary did break the glass ceiling. I think that her campaign made the notion of a woman running for president become something much closer to the norm, so that people aren't talking about it that much. I think women out there are feeling it. And feeling the potential much more than the general public at large, women and men together.
Right.
And I think that that Hillary should be given credit for the fact that she did break the glass ceiling. She didn't win the election, but now we've got a woman running, and there isn't a lot of talk about, and there's not a lot of, just like Jack Kennedy broke the Catholic ceiling, right? He was Catholic, or hadn't been a Catholic elected ever before. Now no one would even talk about that. That wouldn't even be the subject of conversation.
Well,
and
so,
I think the same is true with the woman running. I mean, I think it still is yet to be done. And I think the fact that it has yet to be done will energize women out there in the electorate. I think also there's some women's issues in this campaign that a woman can carry much better than a man can. This whole notion of a woman's right to choose is an issue that is best carried by a woman, and she will do it dynamically.
So, Sandy, how then does the Republican Party and Donald Trump, an undisciplined person, they really need a top surgeon It's what they need to attempt the surgery, but they don't have a top surgeon. They have a guy who's got a hammer and some nails. And so how is he going to be able to navigate this delicate reality that the Republicans are faced with?
Well, it's clearly going to be based on his instincts, but also the way this stuff operates. Branding, right? So right. already the ads they're running about Kamala is to make her out to be a San Francisco communist. You know, literally, he's using the term communist. He used it with respect to her notion of pursuing corporations for price gouging, which is not setting prices, right? It's not price control. But he immediately jumped to trying to describe her as a communist, telling people that, and this is the horror. This is how out of touch he is. What he said, everybody is going to have health care. This is going to be communist.
The worst thing in the world. Yeah.
Everybody's going to have health care. Wow. I don't think that resonated very strongly with the people out there. But I think they're stuck with this guy. I think the way they're going to handle it is the way he will handle it. And that is a kind of a vicious branding process, trying to get their base and try to get the parts of the country that are red to get inflamed by the notion that someone from California, the people's, you know, as they would describe it, the People's Republic of California would run. You know, they've tried to demonize the word liberal. And part of the way they've demonized it is to categorize the worst sort as being California liberals. And that's how they're going to label Kamala. It's not going to fly, I don't think, very well, because number one, her background, they had to dig deep into the records of her DA period to come up with a couple of situations where there was recidivism amongst people who were prosecuted or maybe had plea deals and didn't go to jail. But she was DA for a significant period of time, and everybody who's a DA will have the circumstance of some of the people that they had carved plea deals with will be recidivists.
Well, you know, Sandy, the term communist, terrified your and my generation. I don't think using the verbiage communist terrifies Generation Z or, you know, maybe even Generation X. So to use and continue to reach into that old grab bag and use that verbiage is not going to be a solution for them. They've got to figure out something. But I mean, if that's all they have, Sandy, that's all they have, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they said that they were going to try and duplicate the effect of that famous ad that involved the criminal.
Willie Horton,
right. And, you know, so in fact, Trump said we're going to have some Willie Horton ads. So that's what they're trying to do. But, you know, first of all, they're appealing to everything they're doing that we described, this whole notion of trying to scare people with that kind of talk or the use of the word communist is all an appeal to baby boomers, right? It's an appeal to people who will be reactive to that sort of discussion. And that's not going to win them the election.
844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. We're here in Chicago, beautiful downtown Chicago, at the Democratic Convention, Civic Media and you. 844-967-2789 is Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams.
Is the Shaw, WAUK.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Pro-Palestinian protesters are making their presence felt at the DNC. Thousands of them came within two blocks of the convention yesterday. About a dozen broke through an outer perimeter fence. President Biden acknowledged them in his keynote speech last night.
Protesters out in the street, they have a point. A lot of innocent people are being killed on both sides.
Biden has said he wants to negotiate an end to the war in Gaza before he leaves office. A Milwaukee woman is sentenced to 11 years in prison for killing her sex trafficker. Crystal Kaiser pleaded guilty to reckless homicide earlier this year. She was the first woman in Wisconsin to plead for leniency because of her status as a sex trafficking victim. Her case attracted national attention. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A legal challenge has been started against the planned expansion of I-94 in Milwaukee. The lawsuit was filed by environmental and community organizations. It contends that federal officials neglected to properly assess the project's effects on local neighborhoods, including air quality and mobility concerns. It's argued that the state needs to reevaluate the project to incorporate public transportation and minimize environmental impact. A judge has sentenced Crystal Kaiser to 11 years in prison for the 2018 killing of Randy Volar. Kaiser had accused Volar of sex trafficking her as a minor. Her case sparked a nationwide debate on the treatment of trafficking victims in the justice system, with supporters arguing she acted in self-defense. Prosecutors in Kenosha said the killing was premeditated. The judge ruled that Kaiser's actions of killing Volar and burning his house crossed a line that couldn't be justified by her victim status. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Legendary talk show host Phil Donahue passed away at the age of 88. Donahue, known as the King of Daytime Talk, pre-Oprah Winfrey, passed on Sunday, August 18th. He started his TV talk show career in Dayton, Ohio, tackling current events, even if they made people uncomfortable. It was when he moved the show to Chicago and added a studio audience that the show became wildly popular before moving to New York in 1985. Donahue was the winner of 20 Emmy Awards, 10 as a host and 10 for his show. Oprah Winfrey, who took over the title as daytime talk show champ, wrote in O, the Oprah Winfrey magazine, that if there had been no Phil Donahue show, there would have been no Oprah Winfrey show. According to People magazine, Donahue was the first mainstream talker to acknowledge that women were interested in things other than mascara and cake recipes. In May of this year, Phil Donahue was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom by President Joe Biden. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 71 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the northeast at 10 to 20. Tonight, clear 57. Tomorrow, sunshine 74. By Thursday, sunny with a high of 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Mark your calendars for August 22nd through the 24th for the Neighborhood Beer Garden at Rivers Crossing Park. Enjoy live music, food, socializing, and of course beer. On Thursday the 22nd, enjoy the Where You Belong meetups at Rivers Crossing beginning at 5 p.m. Head to the Parks, Rec, and Forestry office for discount theme park tickets before Labor Day. There's still fun to be had while the season lasts at the Horb Springs Aquatic Center before closing on the 20th, or Buckner Pool, which closes on the 25th.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Pump 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing?
Dollar driver. It takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you're harassing
me. I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We're live on location for the Democratic National Convention here at the United Center in Chicago. Great guest, Trigby Olson with the Lincoln Project and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
I'm just wild about Harry, and Harry's wild about me. The heavenly blisses of his kisses fills me with ecstasy. He's sweet just like chocolate candy, or like the honey from a bee. Oh, I'm just wild about Harry, and he's just wild about me.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. I'm in Chicago. Civic Media is in Chicago as we take in the Democratic Convention for the next several days. Sandy, the music.
Well, that was Harry Truman. That's the Harry that she was wild about. And Harry Truman, his campaign in 1948, that was his theme.
You know, Sandy, this thing has just flipped unbelievably. I go back 3 weeks ago in a conversation you and I were having about the fact that you said if they replace Joe Biden, the Democrats could take this media swoon and it could last for extended. You remember the conversation we had?
Yeah.
Extended periods of time, well, you know, didn't know how the Republicans could get, you know, control back.
I don't think they will get control back. I think that their efforts to get control back will push them into contortions that will be rather obvious. But it's an uphill fight because, you know, we all have to remember that this isn't a plurality contest. This is the Electoral College contest. And I was talking about California before. You know, California has two senators, just like every other state. And so they, you know, the Electoral College is biased in favor of smaller states because of the way it works out. There's an Electoral College vote for each congressperson and each senator. And so, you know, the Senate side of that pushes the Electoral College in the direction of favoring the smaller population states. It was designed that way by the founders, and it continues to work that way. And, you know, Hillary won her election by 3 million in the plurality side and lost on the Electoral College side. And a Republican hasn't won the plurality for 24 years, but they've been in the White House a number of times during that period. So, you know, we all have to keep our eye on the ball.
Well, you know, Republicans worry Trump blowing their chances for a Senate majority. That's the conversation that was had 3 weeks ago about Joe Biden. The Democrats were worried about the fact that, you know, that they could possibly lose the House and the Senate. And that's kind of what started the ball a-rolling that brought us into this change.
Well, that was, I think, the enthusiasm factor. Four weeks ago, if they looked at the enthusiasm of the people who were saying they were going to vote for Donald Trump, it was a much greater percentage than the enthusiasm of the people who said they were going to vote for Joe Biden. And it's the enthusiasm factor that runs up and down the ticket, okay, the ballot. And the down-ballot candidates will be benefited by the party for whom there is the greatest enthusiasm, because enthusiasm translates to turnout. And Democrats do much better when there is a big turnout and when they are enthusiastic enough to turn out in their numbers.
Oh, yes, Andy, go ahead.
No, well, I'm just saying Joe Biden proved that the last election. You know, the Democrats had a far more enthusiastic turnout. There were many more votes cast in the last election. Donald Trump got more votes than he did in the prior campaign when he won, but Joe Biden got many more votes than Hillary Clinton did.
Well, I want people to be clear. This is not Earl and Sandy talking. This is the Hill. Republicans worry Trump blowing their chances for Senate majority. Lindsey Graham and other major Republicans are concerned that Donald Trump and what he is doing is going to cost them control of the House and the Senate. The question becomes whether or not they're willing to make as drastic a move as the Democrats did, and we know that won't happen. Let's go to the phone lines and CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. Thanks for taking my call. My challenge still stands, Sandy, anytime, anywhere. You know, as I watch, you're right. Lindsey Graham's right. If Donald Trump goes down the rabbit hole of personalities, he will lose. But when you compare the record of his versus Joe Biden's and Kamala Harris, it's easy to see. So, you know, that's why they have to keep her hidden, because what prosecutor, they claim she's such a great prosecutor, what prosecutor raises money for protesters that broke the law like she did in Minneapolis?
CJ, let me respond to that right away. Listen, man, those things, if, you know, a grab bag of things that's all Republicans can reach into is a grab bag of things that are insignificant, that don't have a whole lot of value. If you think that that is going to be what is going to change what people are looking at and seeing in this movement that is happening, God bless you. But that grab bag of small little things that you and others are trying to drum up to confuse people who clearly are looking at the difference between the policies that, you know, Kamala Harris and the Democrats are proposing as opposed to the policies that Republicans are proposing are just completely different.
Well, I would say it's evidence of the branding effort. I mean, what was just talked about is an effort to try and brand someone rather right. than to talk about policies. And, you know, the Trump background, they want to, the people and Donald Trump himself wants to point at the coincidence of occurrences and to cherry pick. So, for instance, the border. The presentations at the border went way down during the COVID period, and it was COVID itself that permitted the president to issue an executive order that would lock down the border based on the health problem associated with COVID. But the presentations at the border went way down during that time period too. And the price of gasoline went way down during that time period because the demand for gasoline fell way off because no one was doing anything. They were staying in their homes. And you know what else happened during that time period? 14% unemployment. Now, all of that can be attributed to COVID. And when we compare the records between Trump and Biden, I think it is appropriate to try and take out the COVID the COVID numbers, or at least adjust for them. But when you adjust for them, you still find out that the economic record of Joe Biden, other than the inflation, which was in many respects precipitated by the pent-up demand created by COVID, which is in many respects was precipitated by the deficit created by the Trump tax reduction, which in many ways was precipitated by the supply chain snafus that occurred after the tariff policies and during COVID. But when you adjust for all of that, it turns out that the policy discussion regarding economic policy and the outcomes of it favored Joe Biden. So I think that conversation should be had. And I think that now there is someone, Kamala will be capable of very articulately presenting that case. I'm not sure that Donald Trump is capable of that. He's capable of hyperbole and talking with broad exaggeration. But I think when you get down to facts, you come out with a different outcome.
All right, CJ, go ahead.
Well, after 1,300 days, she's planning on doing something on day one, finally. Well,
wait, what do you mean 1,300 days? CJ, what do you mean 1,300 days? What is that?
She's been in office for over 3.5 years. And the claim that she's going to do something now for the American people, they were talking a few months back replacing her as VP because she sucks so bad. And she's done
Wow.
nothing.
Hey, CJ, you know, it doesn't matter. You can, you know, that's, again, as Sandy was stating before, all you can do is talk about this woman and from a perspective of hatefulness and you know, lack of respect for the fact that she's a woman who's accomplished some things. That's not going to change anything, CJ. You're preaching to a group of people a select group of people who buy into that. You're clearly one who's bought into that. The majority of the people don't want to hear that, CJ. They don't agree with any of the foolishness you are talking about. The question again becomes, Republicans are really in a quandary. They're in a tough spot, and you and Trump can continue to use that verbiage all you want to. It has nothing to do with the outcome of where this thing is headed. All right. I guess he's gone. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, guys. I am a joyful democracy warrior because I don't believe in Project 2025. I guess I'm kind of grateful. One, what an incredible convention. Can we just say that? Can we just talk about the fact that you have real people up there talking about real stories? And actually, I don't know. CJ, I guess when they watch Fox all day long and they watch these shows, they must not see Kamala because she's everywhere. I don't know what the hell they're talking about. She has been in more states in the past month. She has done more on social media. She is at the convention. All she's been doing is campaigning. Whereas the orange one just is doing nothing except for spewing his hatred. It's just really, really amazing to me that they say that she's been hiding away. Is that because they don't show her anywhere on right-wing hate radio or right-wing TV? I just don't get it. Anyway, like I said, I can't let them ruin my buzz except for the fact that they got nothing. The only policy that they have is Project 2025 and tax cuts for billionaires. That's their policy. And I wish that they would actually show us some policy so we could debate some policy. But they don't have any. Donald Trump ruined the border bill that James Lankford from Oklahoma, not your bastion of liberal places, actually put forward. And Donald Trump said, don't use it. Don't vote on it. I mean, these people are, I hope that the Republican Party really takes back their party, the true Republican Party. But I really think they're probably going to have to start a whole new party because these people are just, they're MAGA, I guess. That's the best way to put it.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, I want to say this. I want to temper the enthusiasm and the excitement. Yeah, the next 3 days, they're going to lead to a crescendo. And Kamala Harris is really, it's going to be deafening. But at the end of it, Sandy, the same thing you said about the Republican convention, these are pep rallies. And, you know, and I don't mean to rain on anybody's parade, Sandy, but, you know, conventions have never determined the outcome of elections, have they? In and of and by
themselves.
Well,
they haven't, but this parade might have a greater and longer half-life based on the personalities of the candidate.
844-967-2789. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. We're at the Republican convention here in Chicago. Civic media in full effect and full force. We'll be back.
Just wild about Harry, and Harry's wild about me. The heavenly blisses of his kisses fills me with ecstasy. Say now he's sweet just like chocolate candy, or like the honey from a bee. Oh, I'm just wild about Harry, and he's just wild about cannot do.
You're listening to The Shaw at WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
At Fleet Farm, we know every opening day doesn't begin and end with us. But if it did, we've got you covered. Everyday hunting gear from Winchester, Remington, and Bear.
everyday fishing gear from Daiwa, St. Croix, and Rapala. Everyday yard cleanup from Scott's, Fiskars, and Agri-Fab. Whatever makes your day, we're right there with you. At Fleet Farm, we've got everything you need for everyday life.
The Democratic National Convention is in Chicago, and our team will be there to tell you what you need to know. I'm Civic Media News Director Terry Bell.
And I'm Todd Allball, host of The Todd Allball Show. Count on us for important analysis, interviews, and the Democrats' nomination of their presidential candidate.
Live from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Listen for updates, plus special coverage at 6 each night. Find it on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
I've shouted over a mic or a phone or from the highest steeple. Yes, I like Ike, and Ike is easy to like. Stands alone, the choice of we the people. A leader we can call without political noise. He will lead us all as he led the boys. So let's take Ike, a man that all of us like. Makes no deals, his favor can't be curried, and Uncle Joe is worried. Cause we
all right, welcome back to Tuesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams. And Sandy, I think we know what that is.
Yeah, that wasn't a Democrat, but that was like Eisenhower. And actually, in the context of researching this for the music, I read and listened to Ike Eisenhower's valedictory address, in which he warns the country about the military-industrial complex. But it's a much more profound talk than that. And I think not this show, sometime in the future, I think we ought to play that valedictory address and talk about it, because the guy saw the future very clearly and warned us about a lot of what we now have to be concerned about.
All right. Before we go to the phone lines, Sandy, I wanted to talk about some of Biden's accomplishments. I think now's a good time, as he passed the torch last night. And, you know, I think what people should garner from what we saw last night, Sandy, is really that was kind of the last prominent time we'll see Joe Biden as president of the United States have a crowd like that, or the last time that people will see him in that light from here on. You know, basically, you know, he's lame duck. There's not a whole lot he's going to be able to do or say. So I wanted to go spend a couple of seconds at least going over some of his accomplishments.
I do think that in that moment up there, I think he realized the scale of how important it is and what he had done. I think he realized that he had done the right thing by passing the torch. And I think he could see the result of that last night. I think he doesn't any longer probably harbor disappointment or anger, because I think he realizes that, number one, he accomplished a lot, and number two, maybe one of his greatest accomplishments was being a successful transition president, like he talked about at the beginning of his term, and transitioning to the next generation of leaders. And so I think that I was taken by that. I was taken by the fact that one of his greatest accomplishments was probably this last act of backing down and backing out and seeing clearly what was necessary in order to achieve the outcome.
You know, Sandy, instead of trying to squeeze this in, we'll talk about this on the other side, but let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Hi, I just, what Sandy and you are talking about is something that I wrote last night. And I wrote that Joe Biden is going to go down in history as the best president ever. Because what he did for this country is that he opened the door for the new beginning the new generation. He could have gone on and stuck it out and maybe won or lost, but he thought of the country first, and that's what he's going to go down in history. And we are witnessing history in the making. And this is the first time in history, no matter what color your skin, no matter your religion, or no matter what your sex is, you can become president. And I believe in my whole heart that Kamala will be our next president. But this will open the door for everyone. And that's why I am so blessed at 74 years old to witness this. And this is the new beginning for this country. It's going to be fabulous.
Hey, Susan, well said as always. Thank you very much for those kind words as always. Let's go to Brendan from New Jersey. Good morning to you, Brendan. You say what?
Well, I just wanted to, as I always do, react to CJ's comment. Let's see. I don't think Biden wants to hang Kamala, but we'll move on from there. I loved the energy last night. If I try to put myself up as somebody who was looking at this from the outside, and all I saw was a very small arena in Milwaukee and a huge packed arena in Chicago. And I guess you could profess because you were there, and I even mentioned to my wife, Earl, I said, well, Earl's in there somewhere. And, you know, it was just such great energy last night. It was good to see Joe out there with some vim and vigor putting across the message. And I do agree with the last caller that I don't know if he'll ever be able to be the greatest president, but he certainly did the most selfless thing any president's ever done by moving aside and letting the new generation through the door.
You know, Brendan, well said, as always, my friend. I really appreciate that. Sandy, before we even get into his accomplishments, I'll give you a chance to respond.
Well, I think that, you know, CJ and the Republican process is going to be to try and rain on the parade, to try and come up with branding that will cause people to be somehow reactive to Kamala and to Tim Walz. You know, the early effort to swift boat Tim Walz, which obviously failed, and I think the public is kind of tired of that, number one. Number two, I think the personalities of these people are going to shine through, and there's going to be a stark contrast in the campaign. I think Kamala's a gracious and quite a compelling figure. I think Tim Walz has lots of charisma, and and I think that whereas we talk about these conventions only being pep rallies and the energy only lasting for so long, but I think this ticket has lots of appeal, personal appeal, and I think that's going to inure all the way through the campaign. And I don't think mudslinging is going to stick. I don't think mudslinging sticks when you've got people who are basically likable people. Okay, and I think that's going to be the problem.
You know, Sandy, the as I've looked at, you know, these numbers, the numbers, they just keep ascending. And as you stated, you know, the numbers alone, it won't be enough to win the race. When we come back, man, I want you to talk about
Electoral College.
Electoral College. And you know, the impact of that and why that is the key. 844-967-2789. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams wins. Beautiful.
The Shaw, WAUK. Crude and Dom.
Tune in Tuesday for the Devil's Advocates. We're here in Chicago. The DNC is the occasion. All the political stars will join us at the table. Devil's Advocates, you gotta listen.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Cap Time's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS.